love that song where the Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. The Lord created it. He created the way He wanted it. He created it for His pleasure. And we worship Him, we praise Him, we honor Him today. We're so glad that you're in the Lord's house. We pray that you'll just be blessed as we worship the Lord together. Whether folks are listening on the radio, whether they're listening later on the website, we're always glad for those who've joined in to be a part of the service here at Barbie's Grove. Now, you know we've got a tremendous stack of shoeboxes here, and there's at least 20 more downstairs in the fellowship hall. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 or more. And so we appreciate you giving those, and if you still have some, you're welcome to bring them. Probably what I'm going to do, we got to call in and pay for them, and they're supposed to give us some barcodes to put on them so that we can find out what country they go to. And I think it'd be neat sometime after the first of the year to find out whether they went to Bangladesh or Kenya or wherever, and we can find out what kind of people receive them. So we just appreciate your gifts, and we're looking forward to it. So Wednesday I'll probably be taking the ones that are here to the drop-off point. I'm going to stop right now and do something. I'm going to pray over them. Pray over these and those downstairs because it's so important. Leonard's going to join me because he represents the church as chairman of deacons. And Father, as we come, we thank you for each gift. We thank you for these shoeboxes and all the love that they represent. The sacrifice that in some cases they represent. And Father, we know that boys and girls somewhere in the world are going to receive these shoeboxes. And not only are they going to receive the shoeboxes, they're going to receive the message of Jesus and have an opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So, Father, we pray an anointing upon those who share Jesus with these children. We pray that even as they touch the items in the box, that they'll be receiving an anointing from the Lord. And, Father, we thank you that one day we're going to be able to have people walk up to us in heaven from some foreign country and say, because you folks at Barbie's Grove gave, I accepted Jesus and thank you. Now may your anointing be upon these boxes, upon all of those that are downstairs in the fellowship hall, any that are still to come. And Father, we pray that your touch will make the difference. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite the Holy Spirit be totally in control of the service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I got to fix my hearing aid. It seems like every time I take my mask off, the hearing aid falls off. So that's just the way it goes when you're old. And if without those, I'd be lost anyway. But anyway, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you all this morning. I have some, before we start our announcements, we want to do our hymn sing this morning. And so if you would, take your hymnals, turn to page 16, O Worship the King, page 16, and let's do verses 1, 2, and 4. Everything is going to be up on the board, so you won't need to even get a hymnal unless you just want to. O Worship the King, as we stand, please.
Grateful we sing His wonder.
seated. We've just had a great start already this morning, haven't we? With the Samaritan's purse, and this feels like Christmas is here already, or coming very, very closely. But I do have some announcements for you this morning. Before I do that, I want to remind everyone that this is our Veterans Sunday, that we want to acknowledge our veterans and for what they have done for our country. We stand very proud to acknowledge them this morning. I have some veterans I want to acknowledge this morning, and I'll just read your name, and if you're here, wonderful. I know, Robert, you're out in the parking lot listening to the radio, but the service on the radio. I want to make that clear. No, he's not listening to the top 40. He's listening to our service this morning. Our veterans that we need to recognize. Specialist C. Dane Barbie served in our country in the United States Army from 1968 to 1970 during the Vietnam War. Sergeant Mark C. Coley served in our country in the United States Air Force from 1985 until 1990. Benjamin Robert L. High, that's you, Robert, served our country in the United States Navy from 1974 to 1977 during the Vietnam evacuation. Staff Sergeant Justin Ray Keplinger is serving our country in the United States Army from 2002 until present, serving in the branch of military intelligence at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Specialist 5, Don E. Whitley, serving our country in the United States Army during 1958, 1961 to 1962, and the reserves from 1958 to 1964. And then Sergeant Bobby G. Williams, E5, served our country in the United States Army from 1965 to 1968 during the Vietnam War. Have I left out anyone anywhere? Could we all please just give a round of applause if we may? I thank you, gentlemen, for their service. I have a few thank you cards. I want to read to you. First one is, it says, I will never be able to tell the church and its members of how much we appreciate everything you have done for me and my family during the past few weeks. Thanks to all. We love you all, and God bless you all. Jeff K. And believe me, it's so good to see you back with us, Jeff, this morning. It's a pleasure to see you back there. And I asked him, did he want me to carry him upstairs this morning? And then I got thinking, well, probably shouldn't try. And so, but you know, there'll be time for you to be back up there and in control of that situation up there. In the meantime, we do thank you up there, Mike and Wes and all those who have been up there pitching in and making it happen. So good to see young men in training up there too, Wes. That's absolutely so. Mike, you've got me loud and clear this morning, and thank you very much. We appreciate everything. Also have another card I want to share with you. Thank you all for the cards and the calls and especially the prayers. I am so blessed to call you my family. Love you all, Stacy Talley. And Stacy, it's good to see you with us this morning too. So amen. So the praise reports is we have them back. And I know there's still some recovery to do. And we're praying for both of you that recovery is achieved, and I know it will be. I know it will be. I have a few announcements I want to share with you at this point in time. The announcements of this is that there will be a call conference next Sunday on behalf of the Stewardship Committee who have completed the budget, and the budget will be ready for your approval next Sunday call conference. Now, I would also like to remind you that you can come down and pick you up a copy of this budget and take it back home with you and review it. And that's what we'd like for you to do. We want you to do it. So please do that so you will be ready to vote on the budget next Sunday. That'll be budget for year 2021. Samaritan's Purse, we've talked about it. It's due today, and what a blessed thing, Pastor. And I am so pleased with the reaction to that. Then we have our children's home offering throughout the month of November. And I ask you, please, to dig deep on that, because we're going to try our very best to have the best offering we've ever had at Barber's Grove. somehow, some way, we're going to be coming to you and asking you to help us do that. Because I'm a firm believer there is a great need, or greater need anywhere, than those kids at the children's home. And I think it's one of the greatest things that we do. Wes, I believe you got a video up there, haven't you? Is it okay for me to ask for that now?
I had a dream.
All right.
And in the dream, I dreamed that we adopted two boys. And the dream was about our celebration party with our family, welcoming them to the family. And I woke up and I was like, okay, God, is that your way of telling me that this is something we need to do? And then somebody at work told me, hey, you should talk to the Baptist Children's Home because they've started a foster ministry.
Seeing what situation they came from and stuff and what they've been through, or any of these kids that are in foster, it just makes you have like a God-type love for them. Even though we've only had them adopted now since last October of 2019, it seems like we've had them since they was born.
He is funny, and he's a very good dad. We never really had a dad because our dad left our mom.
So it was great to finally have a father in our life.
I'm going to have the opportunity to help one of our pastors at our church baptize Nathan and Tyler, and it's going to be a very emotional time for me. I'm just glad that God is using me and Janina to help these young boys, and I want them to grow up in a godly home.
They became Christians after they moved into the children's home. They had experiences during that first year that they were living at the cottage.
Mm-hmm. We've been touching on it a lot lately, and I'm just glad that today we're getting baptized.
We go down to the river, whether a saint or a sinner. We broke our ties to the giver. We all go down to the river. Ooh, we've been here before. Ooh, knocking on the door.
Amen. So you can see the need, and we'll respond to that. You always have, and I thank you all for that. Pam would like for me to remind you that she made an announcement last Sunday or so ago, and about the Mount Pleasant Rest Home need for pajamas. And Pam, was it about 60? Was it 60 they were going to need totally? Totally. Yeah.
Between 40 and 60, she
has. Yeah. Okay. Well, what Pam is asking you, if you haven't had a chance to see her about that, please come and give her your name and let her know that you can support her in this effort. And what a great effort it, and what a great it is to do, be able to help these folks out in the nursing home. So see Pam right after service if you hadn't already talked to her about that. Okay. Next Wednesday night, I want to remind the deacons that we will have a special meeting here at the church, and we're not going to do phone conference. While we're here, we're going to meet here at the church, and we're also going to ask that the stewardship meeting be part of that meeting, and also that the building grounds be part of that meeting. So their chairperson for each one be part of that meeting. So, all right. And Thanksgiving service. We decided that the Wednesday night service before Thanksgiving will be canceled as usual. It'll give you all a chance to cook all the turkeys. And it's going to be a different Thanksgiving. I mean, it's been a different year. And look at you this morning. I can't even see you smiling at me. I don't even know when you're laughing at me anymore. And but you know what? We'll get through this. We will. We'll get through this. We sure will. So, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked, please? I feel like I probably have. But is there anything I've overlooked this morning? All right. That be the case, we'll go to our prayer requests this morning. We continue to have a lot of prayer requests and prayer needs they would have. Let's remember Stacy. She's here this morning with us. But Stacy and I have been communicating a little bit last week, and I just believe Stacy's not quite 100% yet, and so with her strength. And, of course, she'd like to be 100%, wouldn't we all, you know, right now. But surgery sometimes takes a while. Jeff Kay's the same way back there. We need to pray for both of those, for God that'll give them strength, and God will get them health, good health back to the normal. Rosina has asked us, remember the Randy Oliver family. Y'all have an update on that anywhere back? Died, passed away? Yep. Okay. Let's remember the Bonnie Treese family. Bonnie was a member in our community, and let's remember her. Can you remember Bryson, Martin, Betty? You had an update last Sunday. Has there been any change? Okay. All right. Let's continue to remember Don. Don Whitley needs our prayers. Don's a little weaker nowadays, and Don needs our prayers to God to lift him up. Vivian will be having a hip replacement, right, Kenny? A hip replacement next week. Let's remember her. And except for the praise reports that I have to have Stace and Jeff, that's what I have this morning. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes, ma'am.
I know that his mother's still on the prayer
list. Yes. Okay, yeah, I should have put her back on this morning. We've had her every week until I should have put her back on, but I've got her now. Got her to be. Okay. Yes. 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 Good. Okay, Tonda. Okay. Thank you. What now?
And my Matthew is much better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt. Yeah.
Nicole Johnson, Robert's niece.
Yes.
And Wayne Williams, if you'll keep them on the prayer list.
And Wayne?
Wayne Williams.
Yep.
Nicole Johnson and Wayne Williams have
been
cancer.
Both those cancer?
Yeah. One's prostate and one.
Yeah. I thought that was the case. So that's Nicole Johnson and Wayne Williams. Okay. Yes. Oh, really? Okay. Let's remember Rosina. Okay. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, as we thank you for this day, we thank you for a blessed time that we can come together and worship. It's so good to be in the sanctuary. It's so good to see our people. But Lord, we know that there's needs and continues to be needs, and you know that as long as time will stand, there'll be needs there. But it's so wonderful to know, Lord, that we can come to you with these needs. But as oftentimes, Lord, before I ask you for anything, it seems like we just must thank you. We must thank you for the fact that we're here. Thank you for the health you've given us to be here. I know it's trying times for us, Lord, but we're here and we're healthy. And we thank God for it. And thank you so much. Thank you for the response that we've had on Samaritan's Purse. Thank you for the response we're getting on the children's home. All these things prove, Lord, that our hearts want to give back to you. And Lord, we also thank you for the help we're given on the pajama drive that Pam has started. All of those blessings, Lord, come from your children reacting and having a servant's heart, and we so thank you for that. But now, Lord, we won't remember those that have asked us to lift them up, and I want to be specific, Lord, and to their needs. And Lord, we pray for Stacy. Lord, we lift her up to you this morning. Lord, she's your servant, and we ask, Lord, now that you would touch her body and give her strength, restore her to a normal degree of health, I pray. We pray for the Randy Oliver family, Lord, as they've lost their loved one. Comfort them, I pray. We pray for Rosina at this time as well, Lord, and we're missing her this morning, and we know that she's having some difficulty with her feet. We pray for her. We lift up the Bonnie Treese family, Lord, as they've lost Bonnie. Lord, she's a member of this community, and we remember her well, and we pray for them. We pray for Bryce and Martin as he continues to battle cancer, a young man, young child battling cancer, Lord, and we lift him up to you. And then, Lord, also Don Whitley, as we pray for him this morning, as Don is at home this morning, but he's weaker, Lord, and we do lift him up to you and ask your strength for him. We pray for Vivian, Lord, as she's about to go into hip replacement surgery next week. We pray for her. We lift up Jeff Kay's mother to you, Lord, and we know she's battling cancer as well. And, Lord, she's fighting a hard battle, and we pray for her for strength and for healing, Lord, if it be your precious will. We pray, Lord, that also for the Sheila Bolton and Sheila Bolton, the praise report we heard this morning, but yet there's needs and still a lot of need there, and we pray for her. We pray for Nicole Johnson for cancer that she's battling, Wayne Williams, and he's also battling cancer. But then, Lord, the praise reports that we have already this morning, good to have Jeff Kay back with us this morning. But we ask, Lord, you continue to bless him and give him strength, we pray. Now, Lord, as we turn our attention to our service today, Lord, we ask a blessing, Lord, upon those who will be taking part. We pray for Pastor Ed as he'll be coming forward to us and presenting a message of truth, a message of encouragement, and, Lord, a message that we all need to apply to our hearts and our lives. We thank you for those who have part in the music. We pray for Tonda as she comes and ministers to us this morning. And then, Lord, we'll be very, very careful to say that you have done all blessings for in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We were having a song of praise. Now, the song of praise this morning that I have picked out is Hallelujah. Now, it's on page 223. But if you look up the meaning of Hallelujah, it's an expression of joy, expression of praise, and expression of worship. Isn't that what we're here for? Let's all stand and sing Hallelujah, all the verses. Thank you. May be seated. Amen. Tonda, if you would, please.
Biggest arguments on your way to church, you know, with families and all this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, I think there's a little truth to that. So anyway, I don't know why it just came to my mind. Actually, the song that came to my mind when Leonard and I were talking about me singing was "I Just Came to Talk with You, Lord." And I was looking that up, and "Thank You for Your Blessings" came up on the same little look up screen on my phone, and I thought, you know, this is 'tis the time of the year where we try to remember all of our blessings, and you know, we have to find those every day, no matter how big the picture, how bad it seems, we have to find those blessings. So, you know, the Gloria and Bill Gaither songs just never grow old. So I know that everyone's going to recognize the song, "Thank You for Your Blessings." So behind those masks, please sing with me as we do this all together. Thank you, Wesley. And Wesley found it for me. So thank you, thank you. I just love it when I send him songs and say, "Find the one that's best for me." And then he sends me options. And I say, "Oh, yes, that one will work." So we work together. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Thank you, Tonda. And you know, every one of us are blessed in so many, many ways. We do have food on the table, shoes on our feet, and the love of Jesus and the promise of heaven. We've got so many blessings. I worked on the sermon all week. Had it ready Friday morning. I could have preached it at this time Friday. And then yesterday morning, and it fit perfectly with what I preached the last 2 weeks. Then yesterday morning, the Holy Spirit gave me a new thought, and I thought, that'll make a good newsletter article. So I sat down, wrote it up for a newsletter article, laid down last night to go to bed, go to sleep, came back up and thought about it a little bit more. 3 or 4 times during the night, the Lord added to it. 5 o'clock this morning, he added some more to it, so you're getting a different sermon. Now, I realize when I got done, somebody may say, well, I wish you'd have preached the other one, whatever. Now, you remember, I guess my most famous sermon, where Chicken Little gets hit by an acorn and says, the sky is falling. And we talked about hiding under our desk because the Russians were going to drop nuclear bombs on Albemarle. And if that didn't get us, polio was going to either kill us or put us in an iron lung or a new ice age or running out of oil and all of us having to go back to walking or riding a horse. And then being in the dark because Y2K was going to shut down the grid and the power plants. And then the ozone layer going away and we're going to melt the ice caps and we're either going to burn up or freeze or drown. And then between HIV and SARS and Ebola and the Asian flu and the swine flu and the Hong Kong flu and COVID, something was going to get us. And they've been screaming, the sky's falling, all of my life. Well, the thought that came to me yesterday morning was this, and I believe it's from the Lord, the sky's been falling politically all of my life. I remember being in the first grade, and that's when Dwight Eisenhower was running for president. And they were saying, the news media, he's a general. He doesn't know anything about being president. If he's elected president, the country's doomed. And then after that, it was John Kennedy. I mean, he's a Roman Catholic, and if he gets elected president, he's going to turn the country over to the Pope, and we're doomed. Remember that? You got to be as old as I am, to most of you, to remember that. And then it was Ronald Reagan. You know, he's an actor. And not a real good one. I'm just telling you what I read. And he's not very bright to start with, and he's starting to get Alzheimer's, so if he's elected president, we are doomed. And then, you know, Clinton and Obama, and if Donald Trump is elected, we're doomed. And if Trump is reelected or Biden's elected, we're doomed. This depends on which news media you heard. Well, guess what? 75 years later, we're still here. And in spite of the screams in the media that the sky is falling, we are still here. The nation is still enduring. And the nation will endure. God is still in control. And I want us to look at probably 3 passages of Scripture. The first one is in the book of James, the 4th chapter of the book of James. Just to remind you of some things that we need to remember to encourage ourselves with today. James 4, beginning at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanish away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Last year, along about January or February, did you make any plans for the spring, summer, and fall that didn't happen? Every one of us did. I don't know, we haven't seen our grandkids in Australia, not Australia, but in Oregon, and for years, and so we called our son and we said, now you pick a day when the kids are out of school and we are coming to Oregon. And then suddenly it wasn't safe to get on planes. And I'm sure that every one of you had some plans that you made that didn't happen because you did not know what the future was going to hold. You see, James says we make our big plans, but if we're not careful, we make our plans without the will of the Lord involved. Now, it's not that the Lord sent COVID. The devil brought COVID because the devil brings bad stuff. The Lord brings good stuff. The Bible will tell you that. But bad stuff does happen. And we need to be aware that when bad stuff happens, it didn't come from the Lord. The story here in James, we're going to go over there to that town, we're going to buy and sell, we're going to make a lot of money. I'm thinking now of some businesses here in Stanley County that opened up. 2 weeks later, the governor closed them up, and they're still closed up. There were big plans to make lots of money, but it didn't happen. We need to be reminded that we are not in control. Now, the second passage of Scripture is over in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2. In Psalms chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He says the people make their plans, they rebel against God, they have no thought of obeying the Lord. They have no thought of doing the will of the Lord. They laugh at the Lord. They reject the Lord. But then what does the next verse say? He that sitteth in heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. God laughs, not because it's funny, but because we act like we are in control. And God says, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You think you're in control. You think you're running the show. You think you're going to make all the decisions. No. And God just laughs at our foolishness. You know, we're like some kids playing sometimes in the playground. And we act like we are really on top of it. And all the time, somebody wiser, older, more in control, controls it all. He says, the Lord laughs at our seeming importance. Our making ourselves big shots. Our making ourselves as if God's laws doesn't matter. We pretend like God said it. It doesn't matter. I don't believe it. Yes, it does matter. Yes, it does matter. Amen. We as human beings can sometimes pretend I'm on the throne. In the newsletter this week, I mentioned a number of Old Testament and New Testament kings who were in authority, and yet they weren't really in control. I mentioned Nebuchadnezzar. You remember him? And how he was one day lifted up in pride, saying, "Man, look at what I have done. Look at this great kingdom that I have built." And just like that, he lost his mind and was out there like a wild animal with his nails growing, eating grass. And finally, after a number of years, he says he looks up to heaven and he said, "Oh, you're in control." And his mind came back and his kingdom was restored to him. In our pride, we think, man, but when we know reality, we realize it's God. It's God. He is the one that ultimately decides everything. Now, God allows us free will. He gives us a mind. He gives us free choice. We can make stupid decisions. We can make foolish decisions. We can make sinful decisions. And we can reap what we sow. But one day, ultimately, God has the final say. God has the final say. Let's go to one other. Book of Joel. I mentioned Joel a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said, "Hey, you need to do a study on that." And we won't do that study today, but we will mention a couple of things. Second chapter of Joel. First and second verse. "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness, of gloominess, a day of clouds, of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and strong, there hath not ever been the like, neither shall there be any more like it, even in the years of many generations." God says, sometimes disaster and doom comes. Darkness. And then go down to verse 12. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil." Verse 15, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, for the bridegroom goeth forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach." He's saying, folks, there comes a time when we have to get serious. And in our seriousness, seek the Lord in repentance. Seek the Lord totally. And he says, rend your heart, not your garments. You know, in those days, they'd tear the robe as a sign of repentance. But anybody can tear their robe, but it's the heart. Are our hearts sincere in seeking the Lord? Do we really want revival in America? Are we not fed up and sin sick of the sin that's in our nation? Do we understand what we need to do? And he says, you know, sanctify, call a fast. He said, let the priest, the ministers, weep between the porch and the altar. Tears in our eyes over sin. When you see riots, looting, sin flaunted in every area, does it break your heart? Does it want you to cry? Does it make you want to cry out to the Lord? Should. But let's not stop there with a moment of sadness. Turn on down, still in chapter 2 of Joel. Go to verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterward that I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Then shall the sun be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You remember, those are the verses that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. Revival's coming. Revival is coming. It doesn't look like it, but revival is coming. It's been very interesting. I was talking, and I don't think I've shared this with all of you, but I was talking with somebody the other day that's more in the know about what's going on than I am. And this minister told me that in the towns, the cities where there's been so much rioting and looting and burning, that it's left a vacuum and a hurt and a hunger. And revival is coming in those cities. Bible studies and churches are springing up in the aftermath of terrible destruction. It looked like the devil was going to destroy, but what happened is the hearts have become hungry for the things of God, and in behind the destruction has come the good news of Jesus Christ. That is changing hearts and lives and turning a bad situation into a good one. All over the world, people are coming to the Lord in the multiple thousands. We have some minister friends that or acquaintances that we support, and we get their newsletters and all. And it's just amazing. 100,000 or 85,000 or 25,000 saved at a crusade. And then sometimes it's not a big group, but This week we got a newsletter from a man that's in Colombia and Ecuador. And he's native workers, and he's preaching 8 times a week between radio and live. And some of his native workers are going to a village that has never heard a gospel witness. And by the time, I guess, you know, we got the newsletter, they've been there. Next newsletter, we'll find out how many people got saved in a village up in the mountains of Ecuador or Colombia in South America that have never heard about Jesus. God is doing a great work, and it's getting better. And it's going to get better. Now, some churches are going to miss the whole deal. It's like, you know, what happened? They're not even going to see it. Not even going to recognize it. Some churches are going to miss it because they don't want it. They're going to say, you know, we never done it that way before. It's never been like that. And we don't want it. But the churches that want to experience God in new and fresh and powerful and awesome ways are going to have genuine revival, and they're going to fill up with new converts. Now, new converts are like babies. They're messy. But they bring refreshing, and they bring joy, they bring change, but they fill up the kingdom of God. And if Peter was right on the day of Pentecost when he said, in the last days, there's going to be visions and prophecies, and young men and young women are going to be a part of it. We're 2,000 years later. If that was the last days, we're in the last of the last days. I mean, if the last days in world history started 2,000 years ago, we're about to run out. And so I truly believe that there's going to be a great end time revival, and then Jesus is coming. I really believe with all of my heart that Jesus is coming in the lifetime of people sitting right here. Wouldn't it be awesome if about 2 minutes the trumpet blew and we just all went, choo? That'd be fantastic. But in the meantime, we have the joyous privilege and the honor in a world that's saying, the sky's falling, to repent, seek the Lord, receive the anointing of God, and reach our community and our world for Jesus. Now, we can be a church that doesn't know anything happened. We can be a church that refuses the move of God. Or we can be a church that says, Lord, do it. In the book of Revelation, you have the Lord talking to the churches, and the last one, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we use that sometimes as a salvation message, and that's all right, but the real picture is the Lord's outside trying to get into his church, and they won't let him in. But if they'll let him in, he says, I'll come in and I'll sup with you, I'll fellowship with you. It's going to be different. And I pray that the desire of your heart and the desire of my heart is that the Lord come in and fellowship with us, and that the Lord do everything in Barbies Grove Baptist Church that he wants to do. That we experience revival. And while the world out there is saying the sky is falling because of all natural disasters, and while the world's sky is falling because of the way the political situation is, we're saying the sky is opening up for the presence of Jesus and for the coming of the Lord. May it be so in your life and in my life, in the life of this church. The sky's not falling. It's opening up for the glory of God to come into this place. May it be so. May we welcome His presence. Fathers, we bow before You this morning. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promise. I thank You for the revival that's coming. I thank You for the revival that is already here in so many places in the world and even some places in the United States. And I thank You for the revival that we're going to see at Barbies Grove Baptist Church. Thank You that we're not going to miss it. Thank You for an open heaven with a glorious Savior, a powerful Holy Spirit, and a move of God in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, Lionel wants to say something, share something.
No, seriously, I did. Before I show you what's on the other side of this poster here, and God has laid on my heart, God has allowed me to serve in Barbara's Grove in a lot of capacities, and while I was working in the children's ministry and reaching out and serving, not just children in the church here, but the children that God has placed in our lives. We've heard a lot. We started out here in Tom to sing this morning about how blessed we are. Ed started his sermon this morning about how blessed we are. And now he's challenged us. We at Barbara's Grove can respond to this call revival. I believe what you said, Ed, wholeheartedly, every word of this morning. And we can make a difference. And it began with each of us. It's my prayer this morning when I present this to you as a representative that we make a difference in our future. In our future is our children. I don't think there's a one of us that would not agree with that. I'm serving on the board of West Atlanta Christian Ministries. That's why I'm standing here before I leave this morning. Baptist Children's Home. Tremendous video. Tremendous ministry. Patrick Fuller, many of you know, and Matt, would be happy to come here and speak on behalf of that so that it would maybe lay on our hearts that we give more than ever before to the Baptist Children's Home. That's one thing. Samaritan's Purse. Tremendous ministry. I've been there. I've seen these shoe boxes collected. I've seen where they go. I've been to the operation up in Boone. I would like to know where these boxes go. We can do that. We can bring more. Pajama ministry. God's given us opportunities here today. For 5 weeks from now, from this weekend, we have another opportunity that I want to represent now. It's called Day of Giving. For years now, West Atlanta Christian Ministry has been involved in helping up to 200 families, up to 400 to 500 children, have a Christmas that will not have a Christmas otherwise. It's a tremendous day of giving. This year we're going to do it on December the 12th and 13th because there's already been so much outpouring of need expressed. We're over 220-something children right now already registered. In 5 weeks, we're expecting this to double. What can we do? Everything you need to know right here is listed. We're asking for $25 from everyone. Now, many of you already made the Christmas list. Many of you have a lot of people to buy for, a lot of our own children to buy for. But I'd rather not buy the first gift for anybody that I know personally that's been blessed, like we've been blessed, and help someone out. You want to receive a blessing? Pay it forward to someone else. I'm going to put this up on the wall as a reminder for the next 5 weeks. If you want to buy a gift, we're asking for at least a $25 value in a gift. If not, put a $25 check in an envelope. I'll be collecting these up and taking them over 2 days before the weekend gets here and start putting all the gifts together at the gym at West Allen, or West Allen College, Miss Hatfield Family Sports Center. So this is what God's laid on my heart to share with you. We're one of 8 churches that are doing this morning, bringing this. So I think that we're, even though we're a small church, we can make a difference in the lives of a lot of kids. I thank you for your time, and I'll get this put up. Thank you, you're dismissed.
Wow.
Yes.
That's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. I didn't know about that.